Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Israel's King David was a great leader, a man after God's own heart, and a lousy father. Today, the Bible's honest portrayal of David and the great damage done by his failure as a dad. For lessons on what not to do as a parent, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family. Join us now for a message on your family, root, stem, and branch.
When you are born, you are actually born into a family with a system. You are born into a network, a father usually, a mother most certainly is in the home, and brothers and sisters, and how you relate to this network determines to a large extent how you eventually will live your life. You have a certain amount of inevitability, certain cause-effect relationships that happen within families. But at the same time, there's individuality and individual expression and individual choice so that you can break out of the family system. Now, you may be born into a harmonious relationship. You may be born into a dysfunctional one. But in each case, there are these interrelationships that are very critical. Well, as you know, this is another series on the family, reclaiming the family, and my message I entitled today is Your Family, Root, Stem, and Branch. And we're going to be looking at a dysfunctional family found in the Bible. It's not the only dysfunctional family in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are many of them. What's so surprising about this one is that it's a family that you would not expect to be so out of control. The family is that of David. We know David as the sweet psalmist, the one who through his poetry has blessed millions and continues to bless us in the Psalms. But I need to emphasize that even though David had it together in his relationship with God, he could never possibly have it together in his relationship with his family. He failed miserably as a father. Now, the first part of this message is going to be very discouraging because I'm going to tell you the story of David's dysfunctional family. It covers several chapters of the Bible, and that's why I will simply summarize it for you. And as we go through, you may say, what a bad example, and he is. But at the end, what we're going to do is to learn five principles that are very necessary to move from a dysfunctional family to a healthy one, and what to do if you can't move it at all, what to do if it just will not fix. That's the agenda. Because I think it's possible for us to learn from a positive example, but it's also possible for us to learn from a negative one. The story is in 2 Samuel chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, we will be looking at a few verses from that passage. Remember that David had committed two sins. One was adultery with Bathsheba, and the other sin was murder to cover it up. The prophet Nathan came to David and said to him, the sword will never depart from your house. There's going to be trouble in your family, and the sins that you committed are going to be multiplied in the lives of your family. David, you set in motion a certain number of dominoes, and you're going to have to live with the fact that those dominoes are going to have terrible consequences. Now, there is a sense of inevitability that has been set up because God said that. But looked at in another way, how different it might have been if David, after he committed those sins, had gone to his family, had begged the forgiveness of his wives and of his children, And if he would have said to them, don't do what your dad did, look at the consequences, and warned them through his own brokenness and humility and crying up to God for the need for them to take a different path, it might have turned out very differently. But it's clear that David did not do that. He did what many fathers do, and that is become a passive father. He became very, very passive. And passive fathers have certain characteristics, and David had all of them to an extreme degree. First of all, passive fathers have anger oftentimes without action. They become angry, but they do nothing. Let me tell you the story of 2 Samuel chapter 13. David had a number of different wives that was tolerated in the Old Testament, though not strictly approved by God. And he had his oldest son, whose name was Amnon. Keep that name in mind, Amnon, the oldest boy. But David also had two children, a brother and a sister, Absalom and Tamar, both of whom were drop-dead good-looking. In fact, if I had time to read the text later on when it discusses Absalom in his rebellion, there are several verses of Scripture devoted just to the way in which he looked. He oozed charisma. And his sister Tamar was beautiful too. Amnon, the oldest son, wanted to become intimate with his half-sister Tamar. She said no. So he set up a series of circumstances in which he raped her. So you have a son raping his half-sister. What do we expect at that point? We'd expect David to get involved and to say, wait a moment now, let us make sure that Amnon gets appropriately punished. And then he should come along and put his arm around poor Tamar and help her in her need and in her shame. What does David do? The Bible says in chapter 13, it says in verse 21, when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And we could add, he did absolutely nothing. Now, he may have thought to himself, well, I committed two sins, too, immorality and murder. Who am I to get involved in my children's disputes? Our heart should bleed today for Tamar. The scripture says in verse 15, when Amnon had raped her, After that, he hated her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. That is a commentary on the nature of sexual bonding, if there ever was one. Verse 19, and Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hands on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. Later it says, so Tamar lived a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. She lived as a widow, despised and filled with shame, all because of this terrible, terrible evil. David could have changed that. If he had gone to Tamar and said, Tamar, I'm going to be with you through this, the God who has forgiven me for my sin is a God who is able to heal you of the evil and the injustice that was done against you, and even though society considers you to be an outcast, I'm your dad and I'm going to stand with you. But he didn't. Well, what happens in dysfunctional families when the father is passive? The kids begin to take responsibility for what's happening. So Absalom, who is a full brother to Tamar, says, I'll take care of it. And 2 years later, Absalom sets up a series of events whereby Amnon, who raped his sister, is murdered. Well, now you think for sure that David is going to get involved, but he doesn't. The Bible says in verse 31, after this happened, the king arose, tore his garments, lay on the earth, and all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. Big deal. But he doesn't do anything. He allows it to happen. He had committed murder, so he thinks to himself, maybe I can't do anything here. And he lets it pass. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you're being a little hard on David here. Are you sure that he was that passive? And the answer is, yes, I am that sure, because the Bible says something very interesting in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. He had another son who was totally out of control, trying to take over the kingdom. And it says in chapter 1, verse 6, that David never displeased him. David never crossed him or even asked him, why are you doing this? Wonderful relationship with God that David had, out of touch emotionally and in every other way with his very dysfunctional family. Anger, but no action. Secondly, David does something else. He accepts reconciliation without forgiveness. Reconciliation without forgiveness. Absalom runs away and stays away for 3 years, and then he wants to come back. And he comes back to Jerusalem, and David has him under house arrest for about 2 years. But Absalom wants to see his dad. His dad won't see him. David doesn't know what to do. And so what Absalom does is he begins a fire to get some attention. That's what kids sometimes have to do in a dysfunctional home. They have to do something just to get the attention of dad or mom. So he begins a fire, so his dad has to talk to him. And so his dad speaks to him and says, okay, after 2 years, it's been 5 years now since the murder, you can come back. This story is told in chapter 14, and the chapter ends, you'll notice there, it says, so Absalom came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Wait a moment. Absalom, you murdered your half-brother. Don't you think that at the very least he should be asked whether he is sorry and beg the forgiveness of his dad? But forgiveness was neither asked for nor was it received. And so David, you see, reconciles without forgiveness. He does not deal with the issue. That's the way it is in most dysfunctional families. This is Pastor Lutzer. When I preached this message, I think the greatest surprise on the part of those who heard it was simply this. How could David, who gave us the Psalms, who has blessed the hearts of so many millions by pouring out his own heart before God and then recording both the meditations of his heart and God's response, how could David be such an ineffective father? Well, as I mentioned in the message, there's no doubt in my mind that David was paralyzed emotionally and spiritually because of his own adultery with Bathsheba. But if he had dealt with that properly, I really do think that the history of David's family could have ended differently. So my challenge to you today is simply this. If there is sin in your life and secrets in your life, don't cover it. Confess it first of all to God and then go to those whom you have wronged and make it right. Because if you deal with sin properly, its consequences can definitely be lessened.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Your Family, Root, Stem, and Branch, the fifth of seven messages on reclaiming the family. Next time, more lessons from a dysfunctional dad and how God's grace can be seen even in failure. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.